Tonight we're looking at taking our friends to Jesus, because that's what we want to talk about tonight. We're going to read Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and we're looking at some friends that dared to bring their friend to Jesus. Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We've never seen it on this fashion. It says in the scriptures, when Jesus saw their faith. Let me ask you, when you're praying about certain things, does Jesus see your faith or just hear words? Because there's a difference in the way we pray. If you pray really believing in your heart that God understands and cares, he'll listen to your faith. But if you're just going through a list and you really don't believe in your heart that God can or will do what you're asking, don't expect an answer to prayer. We have to pray believing. God does care. And our Lord does answer prayer. He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails what? Much. We keep thinking my prayers don't make any difference. But I want to tell you, your prayers can make a difference for your family, for your friends, and for yourself. It says in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Imagine if you were the owner of the house, and these four friends came bearing their friend in a cot, and they couldn't get in the door. How easily do you give up on prayer? How easily do you give up on your friends? These four guys actually went up on the roof and tore a hole in the roof. They were insistent. They had to get him to Jesus. Often in our lives, there's nobody else to go to. When the doctor tells the patient, there's nothing more I can do, is there still something Jesus can do? When the boss says, I hate to let you go, but I got to let you go. There's nothing I can do. Can Jesus find another job for that person? Sure can. Folks, there are times that we have nobody else to take our friends to, but to the Lord. And we have to come in faith. Where did those four men get the faith to believe that if we can get Sam, whatever his name was, to Jesus, he'll heal him? They got it from the word of God. God says this is always the truth in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important for us to share the praises that we have with each other, because when you hear that the little boy next door started coming to church, or I don't know, 2 months ago or so, and 2 months later, he's received Christ. What does that give you faith to believe? If I can get my family into the hearing of the word of God, they might get saved too. It's so important to realize that your testimony might be the spark that brings faith to somebody else to believe God for a miracle. Because in all of our families, we need some miracles. There's nothing else we can do but come to our Lord. So could you bring your friends to Jesus in their times of need? And just because you're a Christian, I hope you realize the answer may be no. Maybe you can't. I want to encourage you in this. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Without faith, the Bible says it's what? It's impossible to please God. Because he that would come to God must believe two things. Number one, that God exists. And number two, that he richly rewards those that believe in him. I can't tell you how many Christians I know that don't really believe the Lord loves them. We sang Jesus Loves Me, and you say, well, why would you sing such a song among adults? Because we're just big kids. We aren't any different than a little child. I mean, we've got a little more wisdom, a little more experience maybe, but there are so many things in this life we don't know and we don't have an answer to. But we know the one who does. And so we can bring our families, we can take ourselves, we can literally bring our friends to our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." I hope you understand what a rich blessing it is that you have access to the Father, Creator, God. When can you go to him? Anytime. What a blessing. Stories told during the Civil War that a soldier went to President Lincoln. He had lost his dad in the war. He had lost an older brother in the war. And all he had left was his mother and a sister who were living on the farm and nobody to help him. So he went to President Lincoln. He got a leave of time from the war to go to President Lincoln. He arrived and the guard at the door said, "Son, you can't see President Lincoln. He's a busy man. Don't you know there's a war going on? Get back to the front and fight." And the young man went away dejected, went over to the park right across from the White House, sat down on a bench, and was just really having a hard day. A little boy came up to him and said, "Sir, I can see that you're really having a hard day. What's going on?" The little boy was only 7 or 8 years old. And the soldier told the little boy what was going on, and the little boy said, "Sir, I can help you." He said, "Take my hand." So the soldier, thinking, "Oh, this is a little strange," he took the little boy's hand. Little boy took him over to the gate going into the White House, walked right past the guard. The guard didn't say a word. And the soldier thought, "Man, this is strange. He wouldn't let me in." Goes right through the front door of the White House. Nobody says a word. Walks right over to the president's office. Doesn't knock on the door or anything. He just walks right into the president's office. President Lincoln standing there with his Secretary of State. They're going over battle plans, what's going on in the war. The little boy walks up to his dad, and he says, "Dad, this soldier's got a problem." And President Lincoln said, "What can I do for you, son?" And the man was able to tell him his problem, and President Lincoln gave him the time off that he needed to go back with his family. You see, you have that access. Many people do not have access to God, and that includes many Christians that you know. They don't have access. And it's important for you to understand that even as a Christian, you can lose your access to the throne of God. And so it's extremely important you keep that access open. If you want to bring your friends to the Lord, I got to tell you, they need somebody that can make access. Because many of our friends cannot approach the throne of grace. They don't have the right. Number one, they're not a child of God. And so they do not have the access that you have. Number two, sometimes they're living in sin. And I'm going to show you a few verses to show you that you can lose your access to the throne of grace for yourself and for others if you don't deal with sin in your life. It's extremely important. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so you have to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in order to get access to the Father. In Hebrews 4, verse 14, it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Many Christians come timidly because they don't understand when you're right, your heart is right with God, you've received Christ as your Savior, you're walking in obedience to His commands, there's nothing that's going to stop you. But we have to have those two things. Number one, we have to have personally received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And number two, we must be walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can approach the Father anytime. Our friends and families don't need a half-hearted Christian when they need prayer. They need to know that I can always go to my cousin, my aunt, my uncle, whoever it is, and they always have access to God. Because that person is a God-fearing person. That person, when they do sin, it doesn't take them very long to be sensitive to the Spirit, to confess their sin, to repent of their sin, and get right back into the grace of the Lord where they have access. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When it comes to your approaching to God, do you have a spirit of power? Do you know that God loves you intimately, that He's concerned about your welfare and the welfare of all those you represent, and that you have the right to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask Him to help? Folks, it's one of the greatest things you can possibly give to your family, an access to God, a channel to get their lives right. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, by the way, if you're a gambler, Mark 7, 7 through 11. So, which of you? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And so what we need to realize is we need to come and ask the Lord, and if he doesn't answer right away, we need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on praying. Oftentimes, the Lord receives glory when we keep coming back to Him and back to Him because we have no other source. When your son has lost his health, who are you going to go to? You can try to get him into a doctor all you want to, but oftentimes doctors do more harm than good. You need to be on praying ground when it's your time. In James chapter 4, verse 1, He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. When you're praying for your son or your daughter or your neighbor, and you're praying for their health, you're praying for their wealth, you're praying for their salvation, that's not at all praying for your lust. What he's saying is, often when we pray, we're asking for things the Lord already told us we shouldn't have. He's not going to answer that. But when you come with a sincere prayer for the Lord's glory, for your benefit or anybody else's, the Lord loves it when you come. I used to love it when my kids would ask me for a bicycle. But if they were only three, the answer had to be what? Not yet. We're going to get you one, but you're not quite ready for a bicycle. How about we get you a nice tricycle? We'll get you started there. The Lord oftentimes has to tell us no, because we are the one we're praying for is not yet ready for that blessing. It may cause more harm than good. The Lord does sometimes say no, and there's nothing wrong with that. Does he know better than we do what's right for those we love? He does. Sometimes we just have to trust him. But that does not mean we don't keep on coming with that prayer. Praying is the first step to being used by God. But prayer is almost never the last step. When you pray for someone or something, you have to be ready for God to use you as part of that answer. Oftentimes, it's the one who's on praying ground is the one who cares enough to be used of God to help in the situation. So be ready for God to use you. So what can we take our friends and our family to the Lord for? What kind of prayers does he answer? I'm going to give you a little list. First of all, we can take our family and our friends and our neighbors to the Lord for salvation. That's always according to God's will. God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And when you're asking him to save someone in your family, that is not praying for your lust. You're praying for God's glory and their salvation, because God's desire is that every single person comes to know him as Lord and Savior. That's always a wonderful prayer. In John chapter 1, verse 35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is they being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelled and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The first thing Andrew did when he trusted, or didn't trust, but when he believed in Jesus as a Messiah, the first thing he did was went and got his brother. Folks, what should be the first thing on your heart when you receive Christ? I can remember like it was yesterday. It's been 51 years ago almost now since I received Christ. But the first thing that came to my mind, my dad, my mother, my brothers, my sister, what about them? Are they saved? Folks, we need to be those that when we realize I have found the Messiah, the Christ, and he saved my soul, there shouldn't be anything more precious to you than wanting your family to come the same exact way. It's extremely important you understand the Lord wants to use you. It's amazing to me that he wants to use someone like me. But he does. And he marvels in it when we receive him and then we start to bring our family and our friends to him. What an important ministry. When I first got saved, I had two older brothers. We all went to the same church in Saginaw. And the two brothers were deacons. I was a little bit younger. And the first thing I did after I got saved, it was about a week after, I went to my older brother's house, and the three of us were downstairs playing pool on his table, and I asked him, "Do you guys know for sure you're going to heaven?" And they both laughed and said, "Nah, we're probably going to hell." You know, the sad thing is, they were right. They didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are many people that are deacons in churches, pastors in churches, maybe older brothers like mine were, and you look up to your older brothers. But suddenly, I, the youngest, knew the Lord, and my older brothers did not. The first thing I wanted to do was bring them to Jesus. I praise the Lord. Today, they're both saved. The important thing is we keep on witnessing. I mentioned before, the first step is prayer, but it's hardly ever the last step. We prayed for Mimi's mom and dad for 19 years. Some of you knew Walt Wagner. Walt was a pretty hard old case, and he said he didn't have any room for that in his life. He said, "I'll never come into your church when I became pastor." He said, "If I come into that church, the walls are going to fall down." Well, we kept praying. And about 2 years before Walt passed away, Walt came into this church, and Walt got saved. Don't give up when the person puts you off. When the person says, "I don't want it," it doesn't matter what they want. It's what you want and what your Heavenly Father wants. The Lord wants everybody in your family to at least hear the gospel. He'd love to see them saved. He'd love to use you. My dad was a hard man too. And my parents had moved down to Florida by the time, a few years after we got saved. And I can remember coming home from Plant 2 Saginaw Steering Gear. Some of you know where Bueller's Greenhouse is. They're on the curve on Swan Creek Road. And I was crying so hard for my dad and ma to be saved that I had to stop. I had to pull off the road. And I can remember like it was yesterday. This is back 25 years ago now. Praying, "Lord, would you please have somebody ask my mom and dad to go to a Bible preaching church down in Florida and have them go." My dad never went to church except a funeral or a marriage. That was it. You know, I didn't know until after my dad passed down in Florida. I and my older brother Fred went down there about a week before he died to be with Mom. And after my dad passed, my mother said, "Jerry, would you like to go to church with me where I and your dad went?" I said, "Dad went to church?" She says, "Oh yeah, the neighbor next door asked us to go to a little Baptist church." And so I went to that little Baptist church and he preached the gospel. So, does the Lord answer prayer? That's a pretty specific prayer, and he answered it to a T. Whether my dad got saved or not, I don't know to this day. But he had the opportunity. I witnessed to him several times, which he did not enjoy at all. But that's okay if they don't enjoy it. They have to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're going to pray for somebody's salvation, have the gumption. Remember, God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Allow the Lord to use you to give them the gospel. Whether they like it or not, they need to hear it. Second, we can bring our friends to Jesus for physical healing. These friends in Luke 18, verse 35 again. This is another group of friends. "As it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him." Who would that be? Those that went before Jesus. You don't think it could have been the apostles, do you? I got a hunch it was. Don't bother the master. Those that went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." Folks, sometimes instead of being a friend to bring our friends to Jesus, sometimes we can actually be a hindrance. I want to encourage you, with all your heart, try not to be a hindrance. The Lord is never put out and never upset when you try to bring your friends to him. He's never upset when somebody says, "I need help." He loves to help. Be sure to be an encourager for others. We may be those that hinder others. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as at the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broke it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." As friends, we have to find a way to get them there. Don't give up when somebody gets in your way. Find a way to take them to the Lord. Whether it's just in prayer, or whether it's you picking them up to bring them to a Sunday school or a church service, whether it's you going out of your way to help them so they have time to go, make a way. In 1 John 5:16, it says, "If any of you see a brother in sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say you shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." We live in a world that is always in wickedness, and they need intercessors. Sometimes it's you that's in wickedness, and you need an intercessor. I got to tell you, surround yourselves with prayer warriors. Surround yourself with people that have contact with God, because we don't know tomorrow. It could be us in desperate need, whether it's health or sin in our lives or whatever it might be. If you've got friends that know the way to Jesus, they can help you back. Make friends with people that love him, that want to be intimate with him, and that love you, because you're going to need them sooner or later. None of us are exempt from these things. In James 5:19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth," and that's all of us, we all err from the truth from time to time, "and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." It's important not only for those that are unsaved, but for your saved friends that are living in sin, that you be a prayer warrior for them, that you keep taking them back to Jesus so he can help them in their hearts. In 1 John 1:8, "If we say we have no sin," in other words, if you're to the point where you think you're perfect, you're not going to be an effective prayer warrior. "We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in of us, or in us." All of us have times in our lives where we need somebody praying for us. It's so important to understand. Do you know what you're going to think tomorrow, what you're going to say tomorrow, what you're going to do tomorrow? Remember Peter? "Although everybody denies you, boy, not me." What happened? He denied him three times. Folks, we don't know what we're liable to do tomorrow. We need prayer warriors in our lives. In James 4, verse 1, he says, "From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that it may you may consume it upon your lust." When Mimi and I first got saved, we wanted so much to be able to witness to our families. And that first Christmas, we used to have turns, taking turns for Christmas get-togethers for the family. And that first Christmas after we got saved, it was time for the whole family to come to our house. I had six brothers and one sister, plus mom and dad. We didn't have a way to witness to them too well yet, and we decided that at the Christmas party, we really needed some Christian music in the background. And so we started to pray. We said, "Lord, we would love to be able to help our family come to the knowledge of the truth through Christian music. As we bring the Christmas story, we also wanted music in the background to help and draw." But we didn't have much money. We were just newly married at the time, or a little bit, and had one child. And so we started to pray. We looked at our budget, and we seen we had $35. That was what we had extra. So we prayed, "Lord, would you please give us a stereo record player for $35? And so we started checking the newspaper after we had prayed. And there was an ad in there for a stereo record player for $50. But it also had a black and white TV and a stereo radio. And we thought, well, we'll go look at it. And maybe we can say we spent $35 for the record player and $15 for the black and white TV and the stereo radio. So we went and looked at it. Turned out it was a boy that was a year or two older than me. Charlie, he graduated from the same school I was at. And we looked at it and we thought, well, we'll take it. We'll get it. And Charlie said to us, "How much did my wife put it in the paper for?" We said, "Well, she said $50. "Oh," Charlie said, "way too much. Give me $35 and it's yours." Exactly what we prayed for. Folks, if we have the right reasons why we're asking, if it's for God's glory and the benefit of others, the Lord does love to say yes. And I just can't encourage you enough. If you've got unsaved loved ones, be praying for them, for the Lord's glory and their benefit. And you'll be amazed how often the Lord will say yes. There are some requirements to being able to bring your friends to the Lord. I want to just hit them real briefly, because if you miss this, you're going to miss the whole thing. In Psalm 16, verse 16, it says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." I want to tell you, regarding iniquity in your heart, what does that mean? That means if you've got a particular bent toward any sin, it can be anything you can think of, and that sin becomes more important to you than your walk with your Lord, your prayers are not going to be answered. You have to come back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I know this is wrong in my life. Lord, help me deal with this." Then the Lord hears, and then the Lord will start to answer not only that prayer first, but you'll be able to be an intercessor for your family, your friends, and your neighbors. It's so important to understand. I worked with a man, this is years and years ago at Plant 2, Saginaw Steering Gear. He was a Christian. He came up to me one day and he said, "Jerry, I got to ask you a favor." I said, "What's that?" He says, "Would you please pray for my two daughters? They're in terrible sin." And I said, "I'll be glad to pray for your daughters. But why don't you pray for your daughters?" And he told me, "I can't do it." I said, "Why can't you pray? You're a Christian." He said, every morning at 2 a.m, I wake out of a sound sleep just like that. I go downstairs every morning at 2 a.m, turn on the Playboy channel, and I watch the Playboy channel every morning. He says, I know God won't hear me, but my daughters desperately need somebody praying for them. Folks, the good news is later on, he came back into right relationship with the Lord, and he could pray for his own. The reason I bring that story up is to tell you, if you are living in sin in your life, it doesn't matter what that sin is. It can be anything, small or big, but you're not going to give it up. God says he will not hear your prayers. And there are times in your life when you desperately need God to hear your prayers. Deal with it. Don't keep putting it off. There's no sin that's as important as the direct access to the very throne of God. We have to keep short, short response time when we see sin in our lives. We don't want to cherish it. We don't want to harbor it. We want to confess it and repent of it. Because you don't know when you're desperately going to need God to answer a prayer for yourself or your family. In Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. This is talking to a believer. He's not saying you don't know God and therefore he's not going to answer your prayer. He's saying your sin has separated you from your God. And that's why he won't answer your prayer. Folks, we need to deal with these things on a regular basis. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion of one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye thereunto are called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so we have to examine our hearts. David's prayer in Psalm, think of it here in a minute, 19. Search me, O Lord, Psalm 139, I'm sorry. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Examine me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If we'll pray that, God will search our hearts. He will point out anything that's hindering our prayer life. It's so important. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more important to me than having access to God's throne of grace for myself, my family, my friends. It's extremely important. In Psalm 84, verse 11, it says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. And so we keep trusting in our Lord, we keep our hearts right with God, and we're going to see answered prayer. I'm not going to tell you he's going to answer everything yes. What I am going to tell you is you're opening the avenue for him to say yes and to bless your life. In 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Who is it that's going to take you away from sin? It's you. You have to make that choice. You have to determine my prayer life is far more important than the Playboy channel every night at 2 a.m. or whatever your sin is. If you're not on praying ground, you're not just robbing yourself. You're robbing your friends and your family of the one that God has put into that position to be an intercessor for them. Sin must be dealt with. So in a great house, there are what? There are articles not only in silver and gold, but also of clay. The question is, which kind of a vessel do you want to be? Do you want to be a vessel for honor, or do you want to be a vessel for dishonor? All the Christian has to do is harbor sin in their heart. They'll never be a vessel for honor. They won't be used. And so we all have to examine ourselves to see, is my heart right with God? As we talked about this morning, is God my number one love? Is he my number one desire? If he isn't, you're already in trouble. You've committed the greatest sin you can possibly do by not keeping Christ first. So we're going to sing right now, Make Me a Blessing.